perfectly fine to have a sermon about work, don't you think? I mean, our whole planning of Labor Day is a day we take off and remember all the work that we've done through the summer. And so we're going to take a working model here from Ephesians chapter 6. And right before we do that, turn around and look at this young man coming through the door there eating a donut. Hello, Hung. Guess who turned 30 on, what, Thursday? So we are going to, yeah, all right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hung. Happy birthday to you. All right, the announcement actually was more practical. By the way, Hung, you will have your birthday song in perpetuity on the internet. Because it was recorded. And technology and I have problems. So by the way, the website's actually up to date all the way through last Sunday. So you can go and listen to these sermons twice, or if you miss one and you just can't live without it, you should go for counseling. All right, we have some amazing birthday cake coming to us after lunch, so join us at Country Burger. Mrs. Effa has taken care of that. All right, so we are in this context here of Ephesians chapter 6, and this is kind of a fun passage. It's in the context of the coming kingdom. I've established that in chapter 4, where he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, Christ will give you light." You see that in verse 14, chapter 5? That is straight out of, I believe, Isaiah 60. The whole chapter of Isaiah 60 is about the coming millennial kingdom. So the redeeming of the time and all of these other things have in mind the coming of Christ's kingdom. And in the meantime, what we are to be doing is filling ourselves with the Spirit and being involved in spiritual things. I preached this during in-service to our staff. And one of the things I stressed is verse 20, giving thanks, huperpanton, giving thanks always for all things, and then the full to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's your bonus question. How many of you think we went through in-service and the first week of school with not a single person complaining? As Mr. Winchester would say, like water off a duck's back. It is only by the power. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, he's complaining, isn't he? No, I'm giving thanks for the opportunity to reteach things. It's ongoing. It's ongoing. This is a slippery slope. You know, it's like trying to deal with arrogance. I'm so proud, I'm humble. You know? And actually, you know, I do believe that having good days and bad days and so forth is really a young person's activity. When you get to be a certain age, anytime you wake up, it's a good day. You know, old age is this struggle between trying to go to sleep and trying to stay awake and failing at both. You know, that's where I am. That's where a lot of you are. You come to church and you wake up at the end of the sermon so refreshed. I won't call names. Where am I? Okay, we're talking about the kingdom. So you're walking by the Spirit, you're being filled with the Spirit, and you're giving thanks to God for all things, because our incredible, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God is marching this world, including Kamala and Trump, towards a kingdom where he is king over the whole earth. Okay, so you think, how in the world, well, we're going to see this. Oh, no, that's actually next week. Sorry. I've been busy this week. Where Satan has this planned, organized attack against us, putting on the whole armor of God. That's next week. This week, we're just going to talk about these few verses, 5 through 9. And it's a good thing, because I only have 15 minutes, of which I've already wasted 5. So my first point here is really very simple. It's that the kingdom motivates and defines our work. In this context here, now he's got wives and husbands, and then he's got this fulcrum point. If you can picture in your brain like a teeter-totter, wives and husbands, and then on the other side, children and fathers. But then he's got this section about work, and what he has to say is how everybody should work, and then he's got a couple of specific things about masters. But what I'm talking about in verses 5 through 8, so first point, why do we do this? Because Christ's kingdom is coming. So that factor alone should motivate and define how we behave. But what he says about servants in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 is also true of the masters. Well, I'll show you that from the text. Well, I'll show it to you now. And you, masters, do the same things to them. Do you see that in verse 9? Look at verse 9. Do you see do the same things to them? That tells me that everything I have to do in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 applies equally to everybody. So my next point is how everyone should work. So this model, this working model, is a great one. And we all find ourselves in various relationships of other people. How many of you have, for lack of a better term, supervisors? Don, you have to raise your hand, you're married. Have supervisors. Yeah, she's sitting right next to you. If she isn't happy, nobody's happy. you always have a supervisor, even if you're independent. If you work on your own, well, you still have a system that you have to answer to. So all of us in one context or another are servants. Well, what about children? Well, you know, you ought to get a dog or pets for your kids. Why? Well, because, you know, it lets them boss somebody around. This dog is your dog. We had 3 dogs at one point. You get dogs to raise your kids. We had all kinds of critters. Why? It teaches your kids about death. Hamsters die. Yeah, they die. Guinea pigs die. They don't live very long. If my kids are taking care of them, they live even less length of time. but you have opportunities for everybody to serve as a master and to serve as a servant. So this working model goes across the board. All right, the term obey in verse 5. Servants obey. It's a present imperative. It's not hupotasso of submit. It's the same as what he says for children. To obey, to listen under the authority. Obey the masters according to the flesh. That means this is not a divine or eternal relationship, but it's an economy that you find yourself in. You got a job, then you have a master according to the flesh. With fear and trembling, the responsibilities that we have to our supervisors, and these passages have been used historically for employment issues. It doesn't go across unilaterally, but if it's true in that relationship, then it's true in all the other relationships that are more easily definable, like employees and so forth. So the fear and trembling. I can't tell you how many times employer-employee relationships break down because there isn't an appropriate amount of respect for the supervisors. Now, you can have really lousy supervisors and they don't garner respect. But this is according to the flesh. So you obey masters that don't deserve respect, not because of who they are, but because of who you are working for. So the first thing I established in service on Tuesday morning was that you do not work for Plano Bethany Bible Church. You work for the Lord. That's who your boss is. I'm sure it made a great difference. Servants obey the masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart. This means not having ulterior motives. Why don't you have ulterior motives? Well, because you are working past your employer and you are working for the Lord Christ. As to the Messiah, as to the Christ. You work for the Lord. I don't care if you work for Lowe's or Home Depot. We're going to have some inter-church rivalry here between Lowe's and... You know, whether it's this or that, it's not. It's for the Lord. You work for the Lord. I find this tremendously satisfying. I have, you know, I've worked here for 44 years, maybe. Depends on how you count anniversaries. That's a different story. By the way, over 2,000 people have responded to my Dull Men's Club entry about our 49th anniversary. Subscribe and enjoy it. But you're working for the Lord. And that makes a simple motivation. Why should I do this? Well, because I'm serving Christ. Now just stop with me and think for a minute. Do you know what a missionary map is? We used to have one, but then we gave it over to Artwork, which I like a lot better. Plus, almost all of our missions are Africa, so you have one really big pin in Burundi, and that's about it. A missionary map is, I grew up in a big church, we had a bunch of missionaries, and we had maps. But the reality is, if we had a missionary map for God, for the Messiah, you'd be on it. And your pin would be here in this car, your pin would be there in that home or that job or wherever it is that God has placed you. And without a complex or ulterior motive, you serve the Messiah with simplicity. Not according to eye service. That is, you look around, is anybody watching? Nobody's watching. Hey man, I got this easy street. As men pleasers, plural, as if we're trying to please somebody. This is your student whom you can leave in a room and assign a task and you come back and they're doing it, as opposed to a student you assign a task and you leave the room and you come back and they're on their phone. Not as man pleasers, not with eye service, but as slaves of the Messiah. There is no embarrassment in being a slave to Christ. So he's drawing a parallel here between our serving others and our serving Christ. Doing the wishes of God from the soul, from the heart of hearts of the person, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might, because you are doing what pleases God, the wishes. It's not the bulomai, the will of God, but it's what God would like you to do. So you go past what the servant, the slave-servant relationship, and you do more because, you know, you're working for the Lord. My dad taught me this. We would be building buildings, actually his buildings, our buildings. And he'd say, all right, now behind these doors, we're going to put fire blocking. And behind the doorknob, we're going to take a 2x6 and turn it sideways and put it up there so when the renter hits the door with the shoulder, it doesn't go through the sheetrock. You see, you have a nice round hole. And he says, on this, no one will ever know. But God knows. God sees it. So we do it this way. What a tremendous, tremendous lesson. I was working construction, actually my first job, working for APTEL, And they sent me down to wire in a lightning rod into the foundation. It's a grounding rod. And the ground rod is, it's a metal rod. It's brass, but it's expensive. And you wire it into the concrete and the rebar in the footing. And then you attach your ground from the electrical panel into that. So he sent me into the ground, and I wired that thing in good, so it wasn't going to go anywhere. The inspector came and the passed inspection, and then he sent me back down there to pull the grounding rod out. This is not what we're talking about. With eye service, rather doing it, knowing that the Lord sees everything that we do. Verse 7, with goodwill. I wish I had more time. This is that good-natured, assuming there's a good reason why somebody that you're working with did what they did. With goodwill, serving as to the Lord and not people. Knowing that whatever each person, whoever, it's indefinite, that every single person, I believe this is believer and unbeliever, knowing whatever each person should do, whatever good they do, this one will be repaid back from the Lord. Proceeding from the Lord, very specific term. God will make sure to reward you, whether a slave or a free person. So this slave or free, and the next phrase, opens us up to every single person should work as if they are working for the Lord, whose kingdom is going to come. So what you are doing is important. How you do it is important. Because our Messiah, who is omniscient, knows everything. He's omnipresent. He is looking for how to fit you into his coming kingdom. What will you do in the future and in eternity is being determined now by your service to the Master, who has gone into a far country to receive a kingdom, and then he is returning. You know, the parabolic literature. Great stuff. So what you do as unto the Lord is vitally important. And masters, here he's going to give a couple of specifics. If you are supervising people, the same things to be doing to them, so that's why I'm... The whether slave or free, and now masters, the same things that I've just explained are to be true of you, working as unto the Lord. But he's got some things here. Giving up, forbearing, stopping the threats. What kinds of threats do employers use? Knowing that you also have your own master who is in heaven. So stop with the threats. That's true of teachers. That's true of employers. That's true of raising a dog. Don't yell at your dog. Stop threatening. Go over there. Be nice to your animal. Righteous man regards the life of his beast. This is your beast. Be kind and gentle to it. Give up the threatening, the forbearing. Stop it. Knowing that you also have your own master in heaven. God doesn't threaten us. We shouldn't threaten others. And there's no partiality with him. He does not change in his treatment. So a good employer doesn't threaten his employees or her employees and is impartial, that they have the same care for every single person. So it's, well, you know, we got a triangle going on here, so we'll do this for you but not for somebody else. That's not right. And God has no partiality, so we shouldn't. He doesn't make idle threats neither should we. So we are now serving the one who will be the king of the whole earth. And this should motivate us and define how we work. Let's have a closing.